Hey guys, I'm Stevie Nelson.
I'm Dave Horwitz.
And this is I Burn Everything, a food and relationship podcast.
Social distancing mini series part 3.
Not as riveting as Tiger King, but coming close.
I mean, honestly, the Tiger King, this quarantine, the Tiger King, the quarantine is the best thing that ever happened to Tiger King. You know, like that is a very forgettable thing. It's horrible. Animal cruelty, a terrible man, meth addiction. We wouldn't be there. There would be no news. There'd be no memes. Everyone's stuck inside. Everyone is clinging to anything that feels like even remotely entertaining.
I know.
And that's why people are probably tuning in to our podcast.
Thank
Hi, listeners.
God for that.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks for being here with us during a very strange time that still feels strange despite the fact that we're, I don't know, week 3, week 4. I don't know how long this is for everyone. But we do have a very special guest today.
Would you like to tell us anything about her?
I would like to tell you a lot of things about her. Well, first of all, she is a chef. She studied at Le Cordon Bleu. Probably butchered that in terms of like my French jokingness. And she's a very funny human and one of my favorite people on earth, Rachel Rosenbaum. Let's do it. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
How are you guys doing? This is so fun to see you through my screen.
I know. We're good. How are you?
I'm good.
Also, I answered for Dave. Dave, how are you?
I'm okay. I'd like to give a little update for our listeners as far as the episode last week is concerned. There's a lot of talk about how much I've been enjoying White Claw.
Oh, yeah, there was. Rachel's from Florida, so like born in Canada, raised in Florida. You get the gist. So
are you trying to say that I'm trash and that I understand White Claw?
Absolutely, absolutely. What I'm saying.
Wow.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that.
Well, let's just say that a lot was made about my enjoyment of White Claw. I was really popping off about it last week, saying it was great, saying it tastes like nothing, hard to get hungover from it. I have received my first and what I'm hoping will be my last hangover from White Claw. And I'm experiencing it right now in this region. Listeners can't see, but I'm pointing to like my temples.
Yeah.
And
Dave.
Yeah. So I think that this will be a new kind of update we can follow with me. Today's April 1st. I know we don't like to kind of date when we're recording, but I think it's just important for the purposes of this.
Yeah.
I've just been, and I can't speak for you guys. I'm sure, Stevie, you're not really doing this. I've been self-soothing a lot with alcohol. I don't know if anybody can like relate to that. And at first it was just like, it's fun. I'm home. I'm having a drink. And I'm not like a super heavy drinker. So I would just like have a drink or two when I'm home. But I'm drinking like liquor, you know, clear. I'm drinking vodka. I'm drinking tequila. Okay. And it feels nice. And again, like it doesn't feel like a problem. I'm not drinking to excess or to blacking out every night. But I am having a cocktail and I'm having them very consistently because we're just in our homes. I hope this is relatable to someone.
Oh,
but anyway,
I'm sure it is.
Dave,
Rachel?
I think you're I will say that I've been smoking weed every night.
I feel like that's a little bit better. I think I would like to maybe pivot to doing a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just try to see how little I can drink for the next month, because I woke up feeling really not so great.
Oh, no.
And I slept for a really long time and had some work. I had to get up.
This is
dark.
This is a dark update.
I mean, I could make it a lot. I could make it a lot lighter. Like, it's, to me, it always just feels more serious when I wake up feeling bad. Like, I think there's never like a darker time when you're in the midst of a hangover. The real story is just like, I've been drinking a little more than I have normally. My body doesn't process it that well. I think I want to take a break. But like, in the midst of it, for me, it's just like, oh, what did I do wrong? I fucked up. Like, I woke up and was just like, ew, it's Wednesday.
Whoa. It's also hard. I don't know if anyone relates to this, but I find that like, if you even have a headache during this time, it feels a lot more alarming. Like, you're like, is this COVID-19? Like, my brain is like immediately panicked that I'm ill. Do you relate to that, Rachel?
Oh my God. Literally every, so Stevie knows this, I'm a smoker. And so I have cigarettes. Yes.
Whoa, Rachel.
I know, and spicy. I look so cute and put together. You never know. but so basically, I always have shortness of breath, and now I'm like, oh, I'm dying, 100%.
Scary.
Like, interesting. How regular of a smoker are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Ooh, Dave, I smoke like, so I've been cutting down since Corona to 2 a day. But typically, oh, I smoke like 5 to 7 cigarettes a day.
Now, I'm not a doctor, but 2 a day doesn't seem so bad.
I mean, it's not good.
Look, no, it's certainly not good. It's certainly not as good as zero.
No, it's not as good as zero, but I'm also not a doctor. But as your friend, I'm begging you to quit.
I know, and I'm working on it. We're at 2.
Yeah.
So soon we'll be 1.
Yeah.
And then we'll be none.
Okay.
Do you have little, like, not to out him, but one of my roommates is a smoker, and he has a lot of little, like, he read that Alan Carr book, what is it called? How to Quit Smoking.
Oh, the Easy Way to Quit Smoking.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. So he read that.
Got it.
But he has a lot of, like, okay, well, what was it? He like has a baby nephew, and so last year he was like, okay, July 27th is the due date, so like that's when I stopped smoking. And then he kind of didn't, and then he's like, okay, we're in quarantine, like I'll stop smoking then. And then he'll just be like, hey, hold me to this. I finished reading the book. There's a section on like friends of people who are trying to quit smoking. Like, it just seems like it kind of restarts every so often. Do you ever have like intentions to quit, or are you just like, yeah?
Yes, I often set intentions to quit, and I have quit before. But this time, I don't know if a pandemic didn't stop me. Like, ooh, you know?
What will?
What will? I don't know.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's also, like, such a hard time to quit, though, because it's, like, so such a stressful time. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, on top of that, like, hey, you should stop doing this thing that's killing you. Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
But also, it's very hard when you quit, and if any like smokers or ex-smokers are listening, it's like those first 8 days is like really hard. Like, you get like angry and sensitive, and I mean, I don't know. Now might not be a bad time because at least I'm isolated from everyone.
Yeah, at least so no one else has to deal with you.
I
remember one of my ex-boyfriends read that book and quit smoking through it, but I remember like always giving him so much grace because he was always so irritable. And like, then in retrospect, I was like, wait, most people's irritability only lasts like 10 days maybe. And he was just always irritable. And I was like, it's cause he quit smoking 9 months ago. he quit smoking 3 years ago. So he's always kind of mad.
Oh no.
God. I mean, it's gotta be, I think it is. I think it's a good and bad time to quit anything. Like for me, yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to drink for a month. And then I realized, well, all my alcohol's in my house, and I just live in my house, and I'm just visiting it every time I go into my living room. But it is like, you know, it does make things feel better, but I think, I don't know, you going, oh, this thing's going to kill me. It's like, well, there's something else that might be able to kill you too. And it's called coronavirus.
Yeah. Oh no. Oh my God.
Look, it's bleak, but we're having fun.
We are. We're having a nice time. We're having a good time. My favorite part about Rachel, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Rach, not this part, but is that your twin, And we, Dave, Rachel, and I all had Shabbat dinner before all of this happened, which was so fun. Also, we all drank like, I drank like a, I don't even know, a, a quarter inch of wine. And the next day felt so hungover. And I was just like, are you kidding me? What is this? But Rachel told us a story at during Shabbat. We're all Jewish, in case anyone's listening and going, what is Shabbat? Friday night dinner for Jews is basically the best way to say it. And Rachel is a chef, so she cooked us all a nice dinner. But she told us a story about her twin brother. Dave, you want to hear it again?
I mean, I will just say, as a preamble, because I find this story to be insane. However, Rachel cooked a full Shabbat dinner for herself, for myself, for Stevie, and for my girlfriend, and it was her first ever Shabbat dinner as a Gentile, and it was fantastic, amazing. The plating of the food was great. I sat down and I think I probably asked you like, oh, do you do these like once a month? And you were like, I've never done this before. And I was like, oh, what a fucking flex. Just like, yeah, I threw this together.
Here's my casual Shabbat dinner. Yeah, delicious.
That's how a chef rolls. But with that being said, everything, I mean, you know, the conversation was great. We all had a great time. But then you hit me with this story and truly blew my mind wide open. Please do share if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. So yeah, it's not typically my like normal party conversation, but I too had had about a quarter inch of wine, and that really got me going. We went deep into my childhood, and so yeah, okay. The story goes: I was 16, and I was a huge stoner, so I was very high. And my brother asked me to drive him to school. It was like after school for band practice. And I drove him to school, and he walked in front of the car and he dropped his water bottle and he bent down to get it. And me being not sober thought that he was gone. And so I started driving full speed ahead, and I just hear like, "Gudu!"
Oh.
And I just remember instantly sweating and just like just full on panic. And I get out of the car and my brother's lying on his back.
Oh my gosh.
And I mean immediately I'm like, I killed him. He's dead or he's dying, and I'm so fucked. Oh my god, can you swear on this?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's everyone's first question when they, right after they swear, they go, oh no, can I swear on this? And we're always like, yeah, please do.
Please swear more.
Swear more. Okay, great. So yeah, I'm looking at my brother and he's like rolling on the ground, and his first words are, don't worry, I won't tell mom.
Devastating detail. Not wanting to get in trouble when you may possibly be actively dying.
Yeah.
Is so relatable.
It just gets crazier because the whole side of his body was black. And like at the time, I didn't like even think about it, but like that's definitely like internal bleeding.
Yes.
And we didn't tell my mom. Like
ever.
The bruising like he turned like the color of his skin was like jet black.
It was like it was just like blotches of black
and blue. And like was it black and blue, like bruising?
It was mostly black, and then like around it was like purpley and green.
Oh no!
Yeah, I had
Wait, we just have to say that he is alive. Make sure to say he's alive.
He's alive and thriving, and he has a great, wonderful life. We did tell my mom like several years later, and no part of her found it funny.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, I can't see a mom ever being like, that's so funny. I love how you almost killed the only thing I have.
Oh,
so good.
I can't, like, he made a full recovery.
Yeah.
Yes.
But wait, you said he sometimes has some pain, right? Or no? Did I
no,
make that up?
No. He's recovered.
I think maybe I asked because I was like, did he never? And you're like, yeah, he just, I think we, that was like when you're 16, you can just like, you can snap back.
Oh, yeah. Back.
Yeah.
I got, did I say this at the dinner? I got hit by a car when I was. No?
No.
Also, just like that as like, it's not funny and it is funny, you know, like that start of a sentence. Wait, did I ever tell you guys I got hit by a car?
Well, you saying that your mom found no part of it funny reminded me of, I was in college and I was going from my apartment. I went to school in Boston and I lived in like a very, like very, close, offshoot, like a barely even a suburb, because it was so close, part of Boston called Alston. And I was walking, to go get a key made for my apartment, and it was June 4th, 2004.
Okay.
I'll never forget. And I was like walking in a crosswalk. There was plenty of room, and there was a car stopped in front of me to make a left turn,
okay,
like onto the street that I was walking onto. So I was walking in a crosswalk the same direction this car was going, and the car was parked with its blinker on, and I'm walking and I acknowledge the driver, and then out of nowhere, a white pickup truck decides, I don't want to wait for this car that's stopped in a crosswalk. It just goes around the car that stopped and plows right into me, probably at like 20 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour.
Pickup truck?
Yeah, a white pickup truck.
Dave.
How are you still alive?
Well, so I went flying back about, I feel like I probably, not that much, I probably like flew back about 6 feet, the amount you're supposed to socially distance.
Oh, that's perfect for right now.
So imagine the respectable amount of distance.
That's a lot of distance to go flying.
It's just the amount of distance of like a kind of tall guy, yeah, you know, or a very tall woman.
It's one ex-boyfriend distance.
It's one of Stevie's stand-up comedian ex-boyfriends. So I flew the length of like a square-jawed sandy blonde man.
Oh my god!
From the crosswalk,
I'm crying.
And I like hit my head on a parked car,
Dave,
like on the side of the street. And I scraped up the top of my hand a little bit. And I was in front of this really great diner called Steve's Kitchen. I don't even know if it's still there. I went to college a very long time ago. I'm 48 years old. But a guy from that diner came running out and was like, hey, man, are you okay? And I sprang up from like the adrenaline and was like, yeah, I'm fine. Just like very rigid. He's like, you should sit down, man. You should really sit down. I was like, I'm fine. The guy gets out of the pickup truck. People are starting to swarm around me because I must look completely insane. Like I'm like upright, like walking around, but I like have completely dazed. The guy gets out of the pickup truck, comes up to me, and it's this 50 something Boston dude and like painter's clothes, and he goes, oh geez, dude, I'm sorry, I just wasn't looking, I just didn't see you. And I was like, what the fuck?
Incredibly casual for having hit a pedestrian.
I know. And somebody shoved like a piece of paper and an index card and a pen in his hand for him to write his information down, and he did, and just gave it to me, and I just kind of walked away. I was like, I had like concert tickets that night for a show and I really wanted to go. And I was just like, I feel fine. And I remember I called my dad and I went, he picked up and I went, Dad, I'm fine. That was like the first thing I said, which he immediately was like, oh, you're not fine. Like he immediately was like, what is going on? Like I was like, I'm fine.
Yeah. Nice to lead with that though. Like
but it made him know that something was wrong.
Yeah.
Because technically I was not fine.
Yeah, no.
So I told him what happened, and I was like, but I'm okay. I'm going to go to this concert later. And he was like, go to the hospital. You could have internal bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Which I did. And they gave me like Motrin.
For internal bleeding?
And I was like, oh, I guess I'm fine. And I No, for I did not have internal bleeding.
Oh, I thought you confirmed internal bleeding, and I was like, all they give you is Motrin, which I know thins your blood more, so that doesn't seem right.
If we learned anything from my brother, you don't need anything.
If we learned anything from Rachel's story, it's that just not being a snitch will heal you. So,
but also, what will heal you is being in your teens to early 20s. Because yes. I think if this had happened to me today, I would be dead.
Hey, Dave, I have one update for you, though.
Okay.
Steve's Kitchen is still open, but closed right now due to COVID-19.
And if anyone from Steve's Kitchen is listening, thank you to that long, shaggy-haired man who came running out in an apron to see if I was okay. I hope he's not still working there, because it would have been a long time ago at this point.
It's on the owner. Harvard Avenue, yeah?
Yes, Harvard Ave between Commonwealth Ave and Brighton.
Yeah, it's a low-key American breakfast menu all day, plus lunch, dinner, and a few Greek dishes.
Yes, that's right. It was a Greek diner.
Rachel. Wow. I mean, that's like a perfect transition, because Rachel's a chef. And Rachel, we're going to ask you, I mean, I know that so many restaurants are closed because of COVID-19. Are there any like hacks we can do at home with all the nonsense we have in our cabinets? Or is there anything we can do to spice up our meals that we're cooking for ourselves? I'm like, frankly, quite sick of cooking. I'm eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at the moment and hot dogs. So like, let me know what we can do.
Well, let's see. So first of all, I just want to say Stevie eats more hot dogs than any person I've ever known. And it's the weirdest thing about you. And it's so funny.
I send her a picture of the hot dog every time I eat it. And we have like a collection going now where it's like, it's a piece of like gluten-free white bread with mustard on it and a hot dog laying on top of it.
Yeah. Rachel, what do you make of this? You know, we've got a former vegan who wasn't always a vegan, who used to eat hot dogs as a child, who is now just going full force back into the hot dog lifestyle.
I mean, it's so funny. Like, Stevie prefaces it. She's like, she'll call me and be like, you're going to be so upset. And she'll like tell me what she's done. And like, it's so funny. I mean, you know, not to yuck anyone's yum, like eat what makes you happy, but it is so funny. And like, it's a choice. I know this woman has a fridge full of vegetables and she's eating a hot dog on bread with mustard.
Yeah. It's a choice. And it's what it's I want. Choice. Also, I had to, we'll get into this later, but the guy I'm seeing, I had to explain to him why I've had so many hot dogs in my fridge today.
You didn't have to explain that to him.
Yes, I did.
You're in an actual relationship.
I guess so. Yeah. We can call him quarantine boyfriend. Okay.
I talked to you a week ago. Was this happening a week ago?
Yeah.
Was it happening 2 weeks ago?
Nope. Nope, Dave, it wasn't.
Well, in times like this, things develop, I think, quicker than they typically would.
Yeah, we're married and we have 3 kids, and all the kids are adults. And
that is way faster than expected.
Back to hot dogs. I had to explain to you why I have so many hot dogs.
What can I do in my fridge if I have some spinach and some old hot dogs?
Yeah, what can I do? What can I do in my fridge if I have spinach, hot dogs, and white bread?
Actually, no spinach.
And say I don't have spinach and I ran out of mustard this morning. Let me know.
Okay. So aside from having hot dogs with bread, what I will say is that grocery stores are not closing. So there's no real need to panic, which, you know, we did see people do, and they bought like a bunch of weird things.
Yeah.
And I had so many friends calling me and being like, what can I make with this? And I'm like, oh my God, why did you buy a can of beans that you've never heard of? Like, people just panicked. And there's no real need for that. But what I will say is, like, things like root vegetables last a long time. And
tell us what root vegetables are.
Okay. So root vegetables are anything that's grown in the ground. So like carrots, beets,
parsnips,
turnips. Leeks. So those are real good things to have in the house. And then also, I've been making a lot of soups. just because they can last like a week, and they're really nutritious. I make like a soup I call a wellness soup, which I brought to Stevie like every time she gets sick.
Which has been twice in like the past 4 months so far.
Yes. And there's like a lot of like parsley, and I put like turmeric root in there. During this self-isolation, I've been having pretty much only soups.
Whoa.
I've been doing like a roasted butternut squash soup.
Yum.
Should I say what I put in it so people can do it?
Yeah.
Should I reveal my okay. So I roast an entire butternut squash, and I season it with oil, salt, and pepper, and you can get creative with it. I also roast an entire head of garlic, and I roast that in the oven at 400 for like an hour.
Okay.
And then I will saute half of a yellow onion. And for the liquid, you can use broth or you can use milk. I use the broth. I always have veggie stock in the house, so I use that. And then you can put it all in a blender. I put it in a NutriBullet, and then you get it to the consistency you like. And you can put it back on a stovetop with some more liquid and like reduce it. And then you have soup for like a week.
That's amazing.
That sounds really good.
Can I ask you a question? Also, soup is so great because it, like a hot dog, it's a comfort food.
To bring it back to hot dogs.
But has more nutrition, it chalked in it. I have one
And no
question and
nitrates.
no nitrates, although mine are nitrate free because I get nice hot dogs, whatever that means. Question, Rach. I am allergic to onion, as you know. Is there something? The reason I'm so resistant, I can't eat soups and cans because I can't have the onions. Is there any way to flavor soup without onion?
Can you have leeks? Do you know?
I don't know. Is it in the
Can you
onion
have green
family?
onion? Green onion,
I think I'm
scallion?
allergic to all onion.
So
Garlic?
I can have garlic.
Seasoning it with garlic. Honestly, you don't need the onion.
Yeah.
It just like adds a little extra something, a little like aromatic. But roasting garlic and herbs also gives you an aromatic, so it's kind of like
Okay.
you can
So
easily do without.
maybe I could sub with like garlic and rosemary.
Oh, totally.
Or I would do thyme, but yeah.
Thyme. I don't own any, but I could go get some the next time I go out, next time I venture to the store.
Rachel, do you make your own stock out of like a clipping, like a broth bag?
Yes.
Do you have any tips for our listeners on how to make one of those the best they can? Because it's pretty, I didn't realize it's pretty simple.
Super simple. What I will say is if you cook throughout the week, definitely keep your veggie scraps. And I keep them in like Tupperware. And then at the end of the week, you take all the veggie scraps and you put them in like a big stock pot, fill it up with water and season it however you want, and then just cook it for like, I usually cook it for like 3 to 4 hours. And you could actually use veggie stock for so, like, I use it in place of oil for most things.
Oh, which I love.
Huh.
Can you tell Dave about the time I made veggie stock?
So,
Please.
yeah, I gave Stevie my recipe for veggie stock
Months ago.
months ago. And I came over and she was making it and she was very excited to show me. And we walk into the kitchen and all of the liquid cooked out of the pot. So it was just like vegetables burning.
Oh, God.
And I was like,
Oh, no.
quite literally, I am the only person who could burn veggie stock. It's like a skill of mine. Like how honestly bad I am at cooking is starting to become a skill.
Mean, it's the reason that our show has the title.
Yeah, it really is.
You burn everything, including veggie stock.
Especially veggie stock. Let's take a quick break. For, an ad or a promo, or who knows what will go in there. Maybe just a little song that someone comes up with, and we'll be right back. Hey guys, Stevie here. Just wanted to say, hey, why don't you contact us? You can email us at iburneverythingpod@gmail.com, or you can even call our hotline and leave a message, 213-458-5236. It's 213-458-5236. 5236, and we may even talk about your message or email on a future episode. So get to it. Okay, Rach, so you helped us with veggie stock, you helped us with a soup recipe, and you reminded us that grocery stores are not closing and we don't really need to panic, which is actually probably like the only piece of information we all need right now, because I also did the thing that everyone else did, is I bought things that I don't normally buy. My friend was really mad at her boyfriend because he bought canned chicken, and she was like, she was like, what am I going to do with canned chicken? And I was like, you're asking the wrong person. Can you do anything with canned chicken?
I mean, sure you can. You can make chicken salad.
Oh.
It's an interesting choice. That's like a panic purchase for sure. But
yeah. I mean, the phrase panic purchase right now, because that feels like a lot of the things we're all doing.
People are losing their minds at the grocery store. The rice, beans, grains, pasta aisle at every grocery store is like
empty.
I mean, I've been able to snag, I mean, the things that I know how to make are pretty limited, but I feel like I'm learning. I live with two friends, and they are both extremely good cooks. It's kind of insane, like, how fast you have to up your game just because of how quickly things are changing. And so I've watched one of them make stock. I've watched one of them like use a sous vide. I've watched, and you know, for me, it's like, I know I can safely eat a lot of vegetables and protein and stuff if I make a big old turkey bolognese with a bunch of like chopped up vegetables and seasoned the way I like, and I can cook that. I can throw that over a bed of zucchini noodles or actual noodles. And so the produce isn't sold out at the grocery store. There's tons of produce, and I think people are like,
lots.
I think people are acting like they're in a fucking in the apocalypse, and it's like there's vegetables are growing in the ground.
Can we also talk about people calling it the apocalypse? I feel like we shouldn't be calling it the apocalypse.
I'm definitely with you. Although it does feel, I would say it's not the apocalypse, but it certainly feels apocalyptic. You know,
I think it feels scary because we have never experienced anything like this. Yeah. But a friend of mine like posted online like all of these like major events in history that like everyone's had to experience that are not the apocalypse. It's just like, you know, when our norm changes, people panic, and it's like it's always happened and it always probably will happen. Yeah. That something like shakes it up, you know?
Yeah.
So. It feels like a little bit better as. I think it feels better and worse as time goes on. Like, I will definitely catch myself in the middle of either a menial task or something. You know, if I'm making food and like that feels good, halfway through I'll be like, wait a minute, I wouldn't be chopping this celery if I could. Oh, wait a minute. And then I just like, my brain just drifts to like, how long are we going to be in this?
Yeah.
And I think that's what feels so crazy is that it's an out of control feeling.
Oh yeah. Wildly.
But you can really control certain aspects of your life. You can control what you eat, and you can, I mean, it feels good to make your own food and have like days of it left over and be like, oh, I haven't spent money on food in 6 days, which is good because
the
grocery store's been out of eggs for this entire week.
The lack of spending feels nice to me. I like that. I do feel like I do miss. I have eaten at a restaurant or gotten some takeout like a few times this week to mix it up because I am so tired of cooking for myself. I'm bored of it. I'm bored of it, Rach. I'm keeping those small businesses alive though.
I will say, I think it's very cool that people are being forced to cook though. And like, I've been having so many people texting me like questions about recipes, and like, this is one of the things I hope will kind of stick, you know, like after this. And because I know so many people who truly go out to eat for every meal, like breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Me too.
Every day, which to me blows. I mean, I guess I just don't do that. So it seems so foreign to me.
I used to, Rach, I used to literally get breakfast out every day and then dinner, and then like it was nonstop. Like I would just get every meal out. It would, that's too many. It's so much.
It's so much.
It's unnecessary. But I agree with you. I do hope it stays. I think that would be a really nice practice that we start getting used to cooking for ourselves and taking care of ourselves, you know?
Rachel, are you finding any way to sort of, and obviously it's only been 2 weeks, and we talked last week about kind of de-emphasizing like hustling and like making a, oh, is that, I know who that is.
Holiday found out that you're on this call, Dave, and she just, is mad.
Just tell her, listen, tell Holiday I'm sorry.
Okay.
And that it's not, can I, I'm just going to talk to her for a second. Her,
yeah. Holiday, would you mind?
Holiday.
Go ahead.
Yeah, could you, Holiday, hey, it's Dave. Hey, I know I miss you too. I just want to say I've been thinking about you. I've been looking at some like the older pics of you and me together. And as soon as this is over, I'm just going to give you a big hug. I can't wait. And I hope you're okay. And I hope your mom's feeding you a lot of little hot dog bits.
Wow. That's all you have to do. I guess she just needs unconditional love to stop barking, which is
same
kind of.
Yeah. Very relatable. I just need you to love me even if I'm being annoying. Yeah. Is that too much to ask? Well,
that's my love language, whatever that is.
Yeah, yeah. Me oh, yeah. being mean and you being nice to me regardless.
Okay, I feel like that's a good enough segue. So tell me about dating in the time of quarantine, both of you.
Oh, Rach and I are...
You want to go first?
I'm going to keep it real brief. Yeah. So I have what I keep referring to as a quarantine boyfriend. So how this progressed was the way I'm guessing a lot of things are progressing in social isolation, which is we started talking via like text, and then it escalated to a phone call, and then we FaceTimed. We had a FaceTime date and we considered it a date, and then we had a Zoom date because... frankly, FaceTime feels like a lot of holding of the phone. And my laptop is at Apple because it was getting repaired during this whole time. Anyway, I don't have any of my great gear right now. But and then he asked me to go on a social distancing walk, which was our first like official date. And we walked about, 6 feet apart from one another for 3 hours. We just like couldn't stop walking together. It's been very nice to explain my hot dogs to someone. Rach.
Oh, I'm thrilled that you have someone to explain your hot dogs to. That makes me happy.
Okay, Rach. Will you tell me about your dating experience during this time? Because I think me and you are the only people I know who are kind of like still for some reason dating.
What's like the most insane about it too is that like I was not dating at all and was not interested.
Before this all happened, before Corona?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before Corona. And then as life would have it, I like started texting with someone, and our first quote unquote date was like a FaceTime date. And then I don't remember which one came first, but we watched a movie together. We like live streamed.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, which is super fun. I've never done that.
What movie?
Event Rising. Is that what it's called?
Event Horizon?
Horizon.
Oh.
That's a scary movie.
It is scary. I spent most of it with like my sweatshirt like over my face, just like screaming.
Wow. That's normally a move to do in person is to watch a horror movie with like a date who might be scared, because then they're like, yeah. Nestled up against you.
Yeah, instead
that's
you're just
funny to do
alone
it.
Having someone witness your reaction to it.
Wow.
What a vulnerable experience. Also, I love that you called it Event Rising.
Oh, God,
it sounds like
yeah.
an event company that like puts on bat mitzvahs.
Oh, and they all have like the sparkly show choir hats, and they're yes. like, let's get Rachel on the floor for a little Coke and Pepsi.
So good.
But anyway, yeah, so we did that. And then we went on a social distancing hike before they closed all the... It was actually our hike. Like, while we were hiking, they announced that all the trails were closed. So immediately after, he was like, wow, I'm so glad we got that in. Like, we can't ever again. And I was like, cool, great. And then I cried, but that's another story. It's so hard to not have any contact for this amount of time, you know? Yeah, and it's strange. Like, I had zero plan of, like, meeting someone. It just kind of happened.
It's also, at least from what I'm hearing, it's like, I think it's also hard because we're being told that it's going to be months, right? So there's a level of, like, do you stop living? Do you just stop? Do you just stop doing your life? Or do you kind of, like, take a calculated risk? I probably wouldn't do it again with someone. Like, if this doesn't work out, I wouldn't do it again. You know, like, this feels like the only risk I'm willing to take. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I do.
I think it makes sense, especially if you're, I mean, there's people throwing parties, like, over the weekend.
What?
One of my housemates heard, like, people down the street. Other people have told me this too, that they've, like, heard people in their homes with, like, multiple people talking.
What?
My neighbors have been throwing, like, outrageous parties.
Okay. So, wow. It is really crazy how we're on very different pages.
It's really weird.
That's for sure.
And I think that I think this extends to, like, cooking stuff that makes you feel good and having food in your fridge and making sure you take walks and stuff. I mean, I think this is, like, kind of the more involved side of coping or doing things to make yourself feel better. But it's like, it is unbelievably stressful and weird. And it just makes me feel like, you know, it's not the apocalypse, but there are some times when you are like, I have changed my room. So my desk used to be against the wall behind me, and now I have moved it. So I have a window and I can see the sky. But there is something a little creepy about that too, where I'm like, I'm just going to video conference for my job, or like, I'm just going to Skype with some people, but there's the sky. And it just feels very, you know, when I haven't left my house in 2 days and it's 6:40 PM and the sun's setting, I'm like, Oh, I need to leave my house.
Are you not taking walks?
I am, but sometimes I forget. And sometimes I want to work out today. I forgot to do it yesterday, but there's just a bunch of stuff that I'm really good at when I'm, like, vigilant. Yeah. And I think that the self-soothing scale of, like, responsibly hanging out with, like, someone you like and making sure you're fed and making sure you're hydrated and taking walks, and the other side of it, which is, like, drinking a lot, smoking a lot of weed, like, playing video games until your eyes hurt. And it's like, I think that there's room for both of those things in this time that we're living in.
They can all live together. Moderation, baby.
Yeah, I gotta learn a little bit of that in these times.
I just want to, like, on that, like, I'm just thinking, like, because I have so many friends who are saying, like, oh, I've been doing too much of this, or, like, sleeping a lot, or, like, shaming themselves for doing something. And it's like, you know, this huge thing happened. And I think whether or not we're aware of it, we're all experiencing, like, a certain level of shock. So like, we find ways to, like, regulate. It's like, you know, I think it's important to kind of, like, forgive ourselves and, like, be gentle around, like, maybe overdoing certain things.
Yeah.
100%.
I love that. Yeah. And being careful not to overcorrect. I think that's, like, a thing I used to do in the past, is I'd, like, be like, oh, I'm doing too much of this. I'm going to overcorrect by cutting it entirely out. And I think there's just, like, a little bit of moderation that could work, but also, like, hi, this is insane, and it makes sense that people would be drinking and smoking too much weed, and hopefully, I don't know, not, like, opioids or...
Don't overdo the heroin, guys.
Hopefully you're not doing too many opioids.
let's say hypothetically, if I had like a two Vicodin left over from a foot injury, if I have had a half of one, just like on my couch by myself, is that bad? This is, again, and this is hypothetical. This did not happen.
Yeah, it does sound hypothetical.
It did not happen.
I don't know if that's bad.
I
don't know if it's great.
I'll take an I don't know if it's bad. I'll take it.
I'm going to say this. I am so allergic to Vicodin that I can't even hear the word without picturing myself projectile vomiting on my dog. I had a Vicodin and projectile vomited on Paisley. I know. And so, like, for me, Vicodin just has a terrible connotation, you know? That being said, I don't know if it's bad either.
I want to send a major special shout out to the memory of Paisley. We love you, girl.
We love you, Paisley.
And we're so sorry about that time that you got puked on.
It was awful. My mom came into the room. I was like, my mom was taking care of me. And she goes, I go, Mom. She walks in the room. Imagine the sight of just, just me in a bed. Paisley laying in a bed with the widest eyes I've ever seen. She was just like, she was disgusted. And sure. My mom picks her up, and my poor mom, she was also just, everyone was grossed out and I was crying. It was just all bad.
I mean, if you're going to puke on a dog, you don't want it to be the long haired dachshund. You want it to be the short haired dachshund. Easier cleanup.
Oh my gosh. If you have to puke on one of your dogs, make sure. Sure. It's the short haired version. I wish I had thought of that when that all happened, but.
Okay.
Anyway, I need to say I'm sorry for that story, but also.
So no, you don't know. I mean, it happens. You can't help being sick.
No, I can't.
And she forgave you immediately because she's unconditional love. She's a beautiful, beautiful lady, and we love her.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're trying to do a little in conclusion, let's all try to keep being nicer to ourselves. Let's all try to cook more in our house. Let's all make a big old vat of stock.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we use plenty of water. Plenty of water in that stock.
On very low heat. Low heat was my mistake. I was on medium heat. Low, tiny heat. Any other conclusions, Rach? Anything else you want to impart on our listeners? And
I guess I just want to say that I hope everyone is staying safe and finding ways to enjoy this really strange pause that we're all kind of being forced into taking. I'm so grateful you guys had me on today. This was so fun.
Oh, well, thank you so much for being on. I hope, as soon as we came over for that dinner, I was like, why, how has she not been on? She's got great stories. She knows how to make every kind of food.
No,
she tricked us into thinking
guest.
You tricked us into thinking you were a Shabbat master.
Yeah. You did trick us. Hey, Dave, I know we don't have the five questions printed out like in front of us right now, but what if we do our own version where you ask Rachel a question that you want to, like a quick question about maybe a quarantine meal, quarantine snack, quarantine whatever.
Rachel, you're at the tail end of your groceries. You don't want to go out. You need to make yourself a meal. You have one egg, half of a serving of small shape pasta, let's say elbows, some kind of protein of your choosing, but not enough to really make a huge meal of it on its own, and some spinach, and that's it. Can you make a meal?
Those are not great choices, but here's what I think. There's a protein left. Is that like a meat?
It can be, yes.
Could also be a lentil.
Wow. Well, I mean,
if you need it to be a meat, it's a meat.
And if you need it to be a lentil, it's a lentil. Hey
guys.
Hey, and Rach.
Yeah.
If you need it to be a hot dog, it's a hot dog.
She does not need it to be a hot dog.
If you want
to, there's no scenario where I need it to be a hot dog.
Same, I think.
I mean, those are not great options, but I guess the only thing to do would be to cook the pasta, saute the spinach, whatever protein that is, cook it up. I'd mix that all together and then like fry it on top.
What kind of sauces would you do? Would you sauce it up?
I mean, what do we have? I thought this was all we have left in the house. Like,
you just have sriracha left.
You have
Frank's Red Hot and sriracha.
You have what do you have? You have a half a can of tomato paste.
Oh wow.
That is still good. Ooh, shakshuka.
You gotta mix
and you paste. And you have ranch dressing.
Oh.
And you have look, I'm not saying it's easy. And you have and you do have Frank's Red Hot.
Yeah. Okay. Always. So here's what you do. First and foremost, you take the ranch and you just throw it out.
Excellent.
That is the perfect answer.
That's an easy step.
Yeah. Step one. And
then, tomato paste alone is not great. So I probably wouldn't use that for this. If anything, if the protein is like beef or chicken, you could like cook it in a little bit of the tomato paste just to give it like something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hot sauce, I'd maybe just put a little bit on your fried egg.
Okay.
Honestly, that doesn't sound bad.
It doesn't sound bad.
It's the best I could do with what I've been given.
It really is.
And honestly, I'm sorry to do that to you, but that is literally all you have left.
Yeah.
I get it, man. Sometimes you're in a crunch and you have to whip something up. That's what I'd whip up.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
Well,
where can people find you, Rach?
Yeah, please direct everyone that's listening to a place that they can see more about you.
Cool. Okay. You can find me on Instagram. My name is Rachel Rosenbaum Chef. You can also find me at my website, which is willworkforfoodchef.com.
Great.
Perfect.
And do you have any sort of quarantine specific content?
Quarantine specific, like food content? I don't have anything posted. I've been doing like some deliveries of soups. And I have access to, if someone's interested in that, I have ways that I could be contacted through my website and my Instagram for that.
Okay. If you're looking for a local soup delivery, check out Rachel Rosenbaum on Instagram and on her website. Thank you so much. This was really wonderful. Yeah,
thank you, Rach.
Thank you, guys. This was so much fun.
You're the best.
Talk to you soon. Hopefully see you outside sometime.
Yes.
Okay. And
good luck. Good luck to both of you with your lockdown, with your love lockdown.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye.
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 Stevie.
Dave.
Hey, thanks for introducing me to your friend Rachel.
I love how much you guys like each other. It's the best.
She's just so funny. It's like, you know, I think I just get a little like slightly jealous when I meet someone who's not a performer and not really in the industry and is, you know, funnier than I am.
Oh my, I know. It's dark. It's like, it's one of those things where when I met her and then I found out that she wasn't an actress, like she was just like, I'm a chef, and I just like looked at her for a while and was like, why are you funny? It's like it would be equivalent to like meeting a funny doctor and you just be like, you should be on TV, this is very weird.
Yeah, I mean it's just also there's so many people who have the quote-unquote straight jobs, you know, not
weirdo freelancer day player yeah. type things that we do, but they also have a side hustle where, you know, I think I've heard like more than one story about, I think I literally heard a story about someone getting pulled over by a cop and then it ended with them being like, can I give you my script? So it's that kind of a thing in LA. So it's also kind of, it's also kind of exciting when someone's like that and they're not also thinking, but you know, if I could kind of get my foot in the door this way, they're just like, no, yeah. I don't want anything to do with it, but I'll be friends with you.
Yeah. Yeah. She has no interest. And it's so crazy because she's one of the funniest people I know. Like our texts back and forth are quite possibly the only thing that are, that is keeping me alive right now. Like they are so funny. I'll like paint, I'll paint like a funny animal, and our entire text chain after I paint a funny animal and send her a picture of it is she's zoomed in on the animal's face and then I'll zoom in a little bit more on the animal's face. And that's like back and forth, back and forth. We have so much fun.
I mean, it's so, it's, oh God, we could do a whole episode on just like the things that you're doing to pass the time. The thing I did, this literally took, I mean, I'm not going to say it took my whole weekend, but I definitely was thinking about it for way more of the weekend than I should have. I did an entire rewatch of the show Cheers. I watched all 271 episodes of Cheers over a couple years, and I was screaming. Maybe I even talked about it on like a season two episode because I got through it like, I think I finished in like 2018 or 2017. Yeah. And I was thinking the other day, oh, it's so weird because I threw a couple episodes on. It's so weird that Cheers got so crazy by the end that there was a robot on Cheers.
Oh.
And I just remembered that there was an episode of Cheers where there was a robot. And I was like, it was probably like season seven, season eight, because it went on for literally forever. It was on for, I think, 9 years. And I spent so long being like, I think that there was a robot on Cheers and I couldn't find it. And then I remembered that this journalist who writes about comedy on Twitter is doing a rewatch. And so I messaged her and I was like, hey, this is going to sound insane, but was there a robot on Cheers? And then she said no. And I felt like an idiot. And then 20 minutes later, she messaged back and said, I was wrong. It was in this episode. And she sent it to me, and it's Woody Harrelson playing with like a remote controlled robot who talks. Oh, and I fucking knew it.
Yeah, you knew.
But it's like zooming in on a picture of an animal you drew back and forth for 20 minutes, or obsessing over the possibility that maybe there was something weird on a show you watched years ago.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what we have to do now.
I was literally the other day on the phone with a friend going, just like repeating back and forth slogans I've heard before, didn't know where they were from and that they would name them. At one point I said, if you see something, say something. And I was like, what is that from?
That's like, you guys cleared it up, right?
Very fast, actually. And I could not stop laughing because I was like, I love that I had no idea where that was from.
If you see something, say something. That's, oh God, that makes me laugh.
It was so funny. Let's touch that, like how Rach and I both went on like a social distancing walk, like as a date. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that are, we talked about the viral McDonald's tweet about my friend who was like going to sit in a car. He and the woman that he sat in separate cars with, they went on a social distancing walk too. They did. And they kept it very, I wouldn't even say PG because that might include handholding. They kept it G rated. And it sounds like it's going well, but I think, I don't know. I think some of these social distancing romances are about to pop.
Pop as in dissolve, or pop as in take it to the next level?
I think probably both, because I think there's a finite limit to the amount that you can text or video chat or walk 6 feet apart. Yeah. And I don't want to out myself in the opposite way, but I'm not much of a sexter. And I think if I was doing this kind of romance at this time, I would have run out of things to say on like maybe day two. So,
yeah, no, I also don't. Sexting does nothing for me and I don't want to do it.
It's just, it's so weird. I am a writer, like I professionally write, and it just seems so, I don't know. Maybe it's just prude, but I just, it's so, I don't know, to take another cue from Dan Savage.
Yeah.
He's very funny when he talks about sexting, because a lot of his calls are like, my girlfriend wants to sex or my boyfriend wants to sex, and I don't know what to say. And he says stuff like, you just have to be descriptive and act like you're there. And his suggestions are to say, it's like the progression is, I want to fuck the shit out of you. I'm fucking the shit out of you. I just fucked the shit out of you. And so it's like, that's the vibe. It's like, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm doing. This is what I just did.
Okay. So like, my version of sexting would be like this. Okay. So this is what I want to do. I would like to eat birthday cake right now. This is what I'm doing. I'm eating birthday cake right now.
Yeah.
This is what I did. I just ate birthday cake.
Oh man, I'd hate to be the guy you were sexting with.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Me too. I would feel bad for him. Luckily, I'm not sexting with anyone, so we're in good shape.
That's good. So, but as far as these walks go, it sounds like you guys both had fun on your dates. Did you? Are you feeling it?
I'm feeling it. Honestly, I really like him. It's really nice. He texts me every morning, and I don't know. There's like nice consistency. I'm really feeling it.
That's excellent. Do you have any updates? Because, you know, not to lift the veil, but we were recording this a couple of days later. Do you have any updates with Rachel's guy? Is that still going strong?
I don't even know. I don't think they've gone on another walk or anything, you know? So I know they text. I'm not sure it's progressing in the same way as mine, but I think it is progressing slowly.
So you think you're really heading for something?
I think I'm heading for something. I think this could potentially be a strange, like, romance that developed during the weirdest time in the world. I can't wait to write a book about it, you know?
I like that so much. I like it so much more than, I don't know. I just think that I think you get the opportunity to tell a better story than just, we matched on Hinge, we went to a restaurant, we went to another restaurant, we kissed in a car, then we decided we got to watch Love is Blind together, and then we found another show to watch, and then we went to London, and then we got engaged.
Yeah, it is definitely more interesting, I guess. We'll see, you know? We'll see. Like, we'll keep checking in on it, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I wanted to add one addendum. This was not listeners. We are still in the process of trying to hammer out the audio quality of these recordings. We got a little bit closer, but just want to send a big I burn everything fuck you to the microphone adapter that I bought on eBay that we have been trying to use to connect one of our original microphones to a computer. It officially does not work, but again, I guess anything that costs $15, including shipping, is probably not the best piece of equipment.
Nope.
Anyway, in the process of us talking, I think one of the ends of my stories got lost in the shuffle, and that I just forgot to bring it up again.
Oh, yeah.
That story of me getting hit by a car, all of it's true, but the actual end of the story is that when I was in the cab on the way to the hospital to see if I had internal bleeding as encouraged by my dad, which I did not, I looked at the index card with the information written on it by the guy who hit me, and it was all scribbles. It was all gibberish.
Do you mean like quite literally, like when a kid doesn't know how to write letters yet and they just kind of scribbles? They write scribbles.
Like, you know, if you're an actor, like an actor who's in a scene where they're supposed to be in a business meeting and they're taking notes and they're just doing like
doodles.
Yes. Doodles. Yeah. And there was a phone number at the bottom of the card. And I called it and said, hi, I don't know who I'm trying to reach. I was just in a car accident, and this is the information the person gave me. And they were like, it was a woman. She was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
And I said, okay, never mind. Ugh. And And the reason that I even brought it up is that it's just so miraculous that her brother was, that Rachel's brother was okay, because after my accident, I felt fine. I left the hospital. They were like, take some Motrin, you'll be okay. I had concert tickets to see this band called Braid that was like this emo band in the late 90s who broke up, and then they had a reunion tour, blah, blah, blah. Not important, but I went to this show that I really wanted to see as a dumb, how old was I? 20. I was 20.
Yeah.
20 year old. And I was like bopping around going, I feel fine. And then after a while, I was like, oh, my neck's a little stiff, as if I just got in a car accident. Like, right. The adrenaline was wearing off. Yep. I think I should take it easy. Then I went home and I woke up, and the next morning I could literally barely move.
Oh.
Like, truly. Like, if you work out and then you feel okay and you go home and you shower, and then the next day you're like, ooh, wow, I really am feeling it today.
Yeah.
Times 9 million.
It's insane, isn't it? First of all, that sucks that dude wrote down, I don't know, wingdings as a as a literal thing to protect you. But yeah, it is weird how after a car accident you feel totally fine, and then 2 days later you're like, oh no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a little car accident at the beginning of last year. It was like a rainy day in LA, and a guy just didn't he didn't stop coming out of a grocery store parking lot, and I plowed into him, but it was his fault. And I immediately thought, oh, I can feel my old back injury like coming back just now. Yeah. And thankfully that guy's insurance paid for all my chiropractor visits. But the moral of that story is you should get hit by an old rich man in Los Angeles and not a clearly broke house painter in Boston with no insurance.
Yeah, there's a
big, which I'm sure he didn't have
there, you know, big difference.
Huge.
Dave,
yes,
remember when I was telling you earlier about how this is not related to the podcast whatsoever, but talking to you about like celebrity women who don't understand their value and are dating like men that don't make any sense? Do we even know
that? I do remember that, and I'm wondering if it has anything to do with the fact that you just found out that Florence Pugh is dating Zach Braff.
It upsets me so much. Sid Steinberg posted something on Instagram about Florence Pugh dating Zach Braff, and I couldn't stop messaging her going, no, what? No, no.
I mean, it's funny. Well, it's funny for a lot of reasons. Zach Braff gets a lot of shit, and I'm not coming to defend him because I don't find myself a fan of him. I'm not a Braff stan.
You a Braffy?
I'm not. Oh God. I wish. I hope he calls his fans Braffies.
If he doesn't, he's missing out. That's like the perfect name for them.
I think he's not the worst guy in the world, but exactly what you're saying of these celebrities not, or these women not understanding their worth. It's like Florence Pugh is not only extremely young, but she is like, she's on a run that I don't know, maybe it's like, who could you compare her to who's like in better movies right now? Saoirse Ronan. These actresses who are up and coming and are being talked about and are being rightfully lauded for being super talented. You know, she was just in Midsommar. She was in Little Women. She's amazing in Little Women. I think it's really only going to get better and better for her. And I think the reason that the internet's going crazy is that it just doesn't make any sense for this 23, 24 year old woman to be dating this guy who had a sitcom run in the early 2000s, who made a really silly movie that we all kind of make fun of now. No offense to people who still like Garden State, but it's like Zach Braff is a meme and he's dating one of the most sought after, popular, young, adorable Hollywood women.
It is not right. Look, I also agree with you. I don't know anything about Zach Braff, but I don't think he's bad. I just think she could literally date any man she wants or any woman she wants who's artistic and interesting and dynamic. I just like, if I was a matchmaker, this would be not the match.
I mean, it's certainly not anything that I would never in a million years go. I would go, yeah, maybe she should just go out with Timothy Chalamet for 6 months and see how that, try that on for size. I don't think that would be that much better than Zach Braff, but he's at least,
he's a little more artistic, at least. Like, at least he has angst or something, you know?
It's just really, I mean, Florence Pugh, also this kind of ties into the theme of our show, because I don't know if you have seen this, but Florence Pugh has gone on Instagram Live a bunch of times and cooked stuff in her kitchen.
Yeah, I've seen a ton of it. I keep watching.
It's really mesmerizing. I mean, the creepy thing is that in quarantine, it's probably Zach Braff's kitchen. I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, damn. Yeah, you know? In his house in Malibu.
I'm sure he lives in Malibu for, I mean, there's no doubt about
there
it.
There is literally no other place for that guy to live.
I mean, actually, I could see him having a big old Silver Lake Hills house.
Oh, me too, actually. And I could also see him living at Soho House.
I could see him having a house with a room that's full of guitars, but he doesn't know how to play guitar.
Oh my God. But he knows the value in particular of each guitar, and they're all vintage and totally wasted on him.
Here's the thing. I don't think Florence Pugh has been brainwashed. It's also really funny to speculate on the lives of celebrities, because at their core, they are just people, but they happen to be beautiful, enigmatic people that you see on a giant screen.
I think what's also funny is that we don't actually ever gossip on this. Like, we're not a gossip, we're not like a gossip podcast, but I just couldn't stop talking about it.
No, I can't. It really every time, and it's because, you know, it doesn't haunt my dreams. Like, I don't think about it all the time, but anytime I see something online, I just think it's, you know, he's not in those Instagram cooking things. She's not talking about him. He doesn't have a huge presence in her. He has no presence in her online persona.
Until
she kind of
today.
Oh, did she post something?
Yes, because it's his birthday. So she
Tell me, what did she post?
Him. She posted a photo of him that says, "Today we shall smile wider than the clouds are gray. April 6th, and we're celebrating hard. Happy birthday wishes, boogies, and cheers for this special person. Raise those bubbles and jiggle." And it is a photo of Zach Braff laying on a dog. I'm upset. I'm upset. I don't like it. I don't want this for her. I want something better for her.
This is a bad comparison because neither of these people are famous, but I have a couple of friends. Nope, that's not true. I have one friend who has been with the same extremely age inappropriate person. And the age difference there puts Florence Pugh and Zach Braff to shame. But they've been dating I think at this point over a decade. And when it was happening, we were all like, "Well, this isn't going to last. This is weird." And then it kind of kept happening. And then it looked like it might not happen anymore. And we thought, "Oh, thank God." And then it kept happening and it kept happening. And now it's just this weird thing that exists.
Yeah.
So there is a tiny chance that those two could go the distance. Like, she's going to be 30 and he's going to be 57. I mean, he's got to have some good qualities, or else I just don't understand how it happened.
Ugh. I don't know.
You know what? I just want to find out while we're talking. I just want to Google. Yeah. I just want to see if I can find out how they met. Keep talking.
Okay. So in the we'll end with telling you how they met if we can figure it out. But in the meantime, just reminding you guys that if you listen to this episode, despite the sound issues, go ahead and leave us a little review, maybe rate us wherever you get your podcasts, and on Apple Podcasts. We'd love that. And you can always email us at iburneverythingpod@gmail.com.
Okay. Thanks for doing all that work. There's also our hotline, 213-458-5236.
Yeah.
call us and tell us who your least favorite celebrity couples are.
Oh my gosh, great idea. Do you know how they met?
Oh.
Did you figure it out?
Oh my god, I did. It's really nuts. It's not that hard. It's
Raya.
In March two. How that would be sad if Florence Pugh was like, I just can't. I'm just really having trouble meeting anybody. Yeah, I think I got to get on Raya. I'm 22. Here we go. In March 2019, Pugh took on the leading role in The Time It Takes to Get There. The indie short film was directed and written by Zach Braff. While there's no confirmation as to whether it was on set that the pair met for the first time, it seems likely that this is where their romance began. However, Cosmopolitan has pointed out that Braff was liking Pugh's pictures on Instagram long before that, but honestly, aren't we all? I reached out to representatives of Braff and Pugh for confirmation on when exactly they first met, and will update you as soon as I hear back. Wow. That is from a Bustle article from January of this year. That's really... Okay, now I kind of actually... Now I'm back to hating this relationship, and here's why.
Yeah.
There's a comedian named Mitra Johari, who's super funny, who had a very funny run of posting these pictures from Instagram where Zach Braff would like pictures of these like 19, 20, 21 year old models and actresses, and he would comment these stupid things on them. And I wish I could find out who it is next time and update everybody, maybe.
Yeah.
But there's the worst one in particular is there's basically a completely, I think almost completely naked woman. Maybe she's in underwear, but she's got her back to the camera and she's looking back at us and her butt is out. And she's like spread out on this couch. And Zach Braff's comment was, nice couch.
No. No.
Yeah. Let's see. What if I Google Zach Braff nice couch? What happens?
The perfect meme.
Don't get anything.
The perfect meme happens. Ugh, man, what a dark thing.
That's rough.
So rough. Dave, though.
Yes.
Until next time. I leave you with these words. Ready?
Yeah.
Florence Pugh can do better.
Florence Pugh can do better. Okay. All right, listeners. Florence Pugh can do better. We love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Betsy Stover.
And I'm Amanda Allen.
And we do a podcast called
Why Mommy Drinks.
Each episode, we have a guest and we all share a story of a time that our kids drove us to drink.
Parenting isn't easy, but it sure can be funny.
Listen to us on Campfire Media.
Why Mommy Drinks.
Campfire.